Welcome to the Hope Community Sunday Podcast for the weekend of September 21. I'm Dan Nygaard. Our current study of the New Testament book of Galatians revealed two key ideas for Christians, both Christians in the province of Galatia in the first century and Christians today in the 21st century. The first big idea Paul communicates is a warning not to abandon, not to pervert the essentials of the gospel of Jesus Christ. First century Christians in the Roman province of Galatia were abandoning the simple gospel of Jesus Christ and adding to it, perverting it with rules made by men. The second message we've discovered in the book of Galatians is that Christians challenge Christians. Christians are not afraid of debate. Christians are not afraid to confront one another. Not about insignificant things, but we are not afraid to confront one another about the essentials of the gospel, and that is the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Over the centuries, Bible scholars have analyzed what exactly it was that Paul was confronting. And the overwhelming opinion is that the Galatians' faith in Jesus Christ was being corrupted by kosher Christianity. Kosher, the word, is not a first century term. Kosher is simply a modern term that means sanctioned by Jewish law. Christian teachers had arrived in the province of Galatia claiming that circumcision and following the law of Moses secured a believer's place in the family of God. Now, these were probably Christians of Jewish persuasion. They may or may not have been ethnically Jewish Christians. They probably were not non-Christians. They were Christians that sincerely believed and were sincerely trying to help other Christians be better Christians. And these kosher teachers, if you will, accept that term, believed that aligning ourselves, believers aligning with the Old Testament commandments, was the surest path to being justified with God. Paul took issue with such teaching. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. A person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we, and he's referring to Jewish Christians, Paul himself was a Jew, so we Jewish Christians too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we, that is, we Jews, may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Reading through the book of Galatians, it is difficult to escape this conclusion. For Paul, the kosher teachers, their goal was to make the Gentile Christians followers of the law of Moses, and so dependent upon the teachers of that law, dependent upon, if you will, kosher teachers. No doubt part of the reason these, quote, kosher teachers advocated that Christians ought to follow the law of Moses was in hopes of making the Christian movement more acceptable to the Jewish culture. But to make Gentile Christianity more acceptable to Jews required identifying the Apostle Paul as an agitator and a troublemaker, because the Apostle Paul taught that we are saved by faith in Christ and faith alone. So in his letter to the churches in Galatia, Paul's message to the Galatian Christians is that they should reject the kosher teaching and expel the kosher teachers. We get a picture of this in Acts chapter 15. People came from Judea to Antioch and were teaching, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. These kosher teachers taught and probably genuinely believed that Torah observance of the law of Moses, was a necessary part of the gospel. It's likely that they sought to preserve the integrity of the Old Testament covenant of the law of Moses, that they saw salvation in Jesus within that Old Testament law of Moses covenant, that Jesus and his agents accomplish salvation by bringing Gentiles into full Judaism. This was apparently the teaching of the kosher teachers. The kosher teachers believed that we pleased Yahweh by following, adhering to the law of Moses. The kosher teachers believed, were convinced that the Old Testament covenant, the law of Moses, connects Christian believers with the long history of divine revelation as recorded in the Old Testament. The kosher teachers believed that following the law of Moses nurtured community. The kosher teachers feared that Paul was anti-Jewish, that he was anti the law of Moses. They feared that Paul was anti-God. In fact, Paul encouraged all believers to embrace one another, whether they came from a Jewish heritage or a Greek, a non-Jewish heritage. Paul did not oppose an individual believer's adherence to the law of Moses, but Paul did oppose imposing that law on all believers. Galatians chapter 3 lays out the Apostle Paul's argument to the Christians in Galatia. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law, or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Heavenly Father, in these last few minutes, our prayer is that Jesus alone be exalted. The Apostle Paul launches his argument with the question, who has bewitched you? The English word bewitched means controlled or affected, influenced or attracted or charmed. The Apostle Paul writes, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. Paul suggests, more than suggests, Paul insists that kosher teachers have clouded the Galatian view of the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul asks the Galatians Christians, who has charmed them to believe that spiritual advancement results from material works? Paul wants to know who has bewitched you. And then Paul lays out his big idea, his principle, which is God's salvation is gifted to those who believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. So again I ask, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Paul there is quoting from the Old Testament book of Genesis. Recall the gospel. The gospel is the eternal, enriching relationship with God available exclusively by way of Jesus Christ. The gospel is laid out in creeds like the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed. The gospel of Jesus Christ offers a relationship that is never ending and ever deepening. The gospel of Jesus Christ offers a relationship that gives out of this world joy and empowers us to live above the world. It is a relationship that transforms believers into agents of God in this world. The Apostle Paul boldly proclaims that the promise Yahweh gave to Abraham is the key in God's plan of redemption. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him, that is to Abraham, as righteousness. The giving of the law of Moses is not the key. The law of Moses, if you will, is like a plow that broke up humanity's spiritual hardness, preparing hearts and minds for the gospel message, the gospel seed. Salvation, according to the Apostle Paul, and indeed the entire New Testament, salvation is an unearned gift given by God to those who believe in Jesus Christ. Salvation is a gift given. It is not an achievement earned. Paul goes on to make a profound promise that believers in the gospel, believers in Jesus Christ, believers in the cross and the victory of God through Jesus, believers are Abraham's true children. The story of Abraham is recorded in the first book of the Bible in Genesis. Genesis chapter 15 tells an interesting story of God promising old man Abraham and old woman Sarah, who had no children, God promised them children. Then God, Yahweh, the God of the Bible, took Abraham outside his tent and said, "Look up to the sky, count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then Yahweh said to Abraham, "So shall your offspring be." God makes a crazy promise to Abraham that his descendants, Abraham, old man, and his old wife Sarah, the too old to have children, but his descendants will be more than the stars in the sky. And according to the Apostle Paul, here is the key. Abraham believed Yahweh's promise, and his belief was credited to him as righteousness. The Apostle Paul promises you and me that the Holy Spirit transforms believers into the true, authentic children of Abraham. Throughout the Bible is this concept of Israel, but it's actually a dual concept. There is the political Israel, primarily ethnic descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who lived primarily within the borders of Israel. During the Babylonian captivity, this concept was broadened to descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who lived beyond the political boundaries of Israel. And they were given the title, the identification of Jews. Throughout the Bible, political Israel is primarily about ethnic descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob connected to a geographic region of the world. However, the New Testament introduces a spiritual Israel, and this is exclusively those who have faith in Jesus Christ. The New Testament consistently views the church, the ecclesia, as the new and true Israel. Not that the church is a replacement for Israel. Political Israel retains some important role in God's master plan for his creation. However, the Apostle Paul makes the claim that political Israelis are not authentic children of Abraham. Why does he make such a claim? Well, political Israel held the belief that they had God's favor, and they earned that favor by their genetic connection with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For political Israel, adherence to the law of Moses is crucially important because it makes them distinct from the rest of the world. So for political Israel, the genetic connection and the doing of the law of Moses earns them God's favor. But Paul does not look back at the law of Moses. He looks back to Abraham. And he looks back particularly to Abraham's belief in God's promise. And it is Abraham's belief in God's promise that is credited to Abraham as righteousness. The Apostle Paul then connects Christians with that. He claims that Christian belief in God's promise of eternal life via the cross of Jesus Christ, our belief in that gospel is credited to us as righteousness. And here's the conclusion we can draw from this argument. God is looking for faith. God is looking for belief. God is seeking those who believe his incredible promise of eternal life through the cross of Jesus Christ. Allow me to suggest that if God's goal was to convince people of the gospel, an irrefutable argument that could have been made was for the resurrected Jesus to appear in the temple courtyard. But Jesus never did that. Yes, Jesus appeared to his apostles, and Jesus appeared to other disciples, about 500. Why didn't Jesus go back to the temple? He had spent the week before his crucifixion in the temple teaching. How powerful, how irrefutable a statement it would have been if the resurrected Jesus, after walking out of his tomb, appeared in the temple courtyards. If you wanted to make an argument, if you wanted to convince people, wouldn't that be the thing you do? Now, God is God. He thinks differently than I do in my small little human mind. However, the writings of Paul makes it clear that God is looking for faith. God is looking for believers. And here is our hope. God, the God of the Bible, Yahweh, the I Am, credits believers with righteousness. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Understand, then, that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, not by works. Paul preached justification by faith and faith alone. Paul claimed that salvation was an unearned gift given from God to those who believe. We are justified by faith in Christ, not by how good we are, not by our genetic connection, but simply by our faith and belief in Jesus Christ. And that faith is the following. Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one, God's special messenger. Jesus revealed Yahweh via his teaching and his acts and his presence. Jesus suffered and died for all people. Jesus was raised from the dead. He defeated death. Jesus ascended into heaven and is now seated at God's right hand. Jesus shall return to bring true justice to this earth, not human justice, but true justice, and establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. Believing this essential gospel is what credits you and I with righteousness. Believing the gospel of Jesus Christ transforms us from doomed sinners to children of God. Believing the gospel of Jesus Christ is what makes one a child, a true child of Abraham. It's not our ethnicity. It's not our obedience to any law. It is our faith and trust and belief in the cross of Jesus Christ. And that belief justifies us, allows us to stand before God as a child, just as if we never sinned.